1098 in the songbooks. Majesty. We will stand and sing this song.
Worship His Majesty.
Majesty, unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise.
Oh, Majesty,
Majesty,
kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify, Christ Jesus the King. Oh, Majesty,
Majesty,
worship His Majesty.
Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
So exalt,
lift up on high, the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify, Christ Jesus the King.
Oh, Majesty,
Majesty,
worship His
Majesty.
Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Jesus who died,
Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Please be seated.
Well, I want to go ahead and officially welcome everyone here to the service this morning. Today is a historic occasion for us in the East Sector. And what I want to encourage all of us to do is to really approach this service today with the right spirit and the right heart. And sorry, one second. Hello? Okay. That's a message from God asking everyone to turn their mobile phones off. So, if I can ask you to go ahead and check your mobile phones are switched off at this time, that would be greatly appreciated. Today is a different kind of service for us today. We won't be having a sermon this morning as we would usually do in our Sunday service. But instead, we will be having a number of readings from the Bible. We'll be having an extended period of prayer throughout the meeting today. And really, today's service is the culmination of a number of weeks that we've spent as a congregation studying out the topic of repentance. And in particular, corporate repentance. You know, when a person needs to make a decision about their own life and make change in their own life, that's they're thinking of themselves and figuring out what is it that they need to change. But as a church, we develop a corporate identity. We have characteristics and qualities that are recognizable for us as a group. And when we as a church begin to drift from the standards laid out in the scriptures, then that's the time when we as a congregation need to corporately repent. That as a body we make a decision, this quality or this characteristic about our group is not right or it's not biblical, and that's what we need to change. And so collectively we're taking this day as a day to make those changes. You know, we're calling this our solemn assembly or our sacred assembly. And there are a few times this occurs in the Old Testament. There are a number of occasions when the people are gathered together in sacred assembly. You know, when God called Moses to meet him on the mountain and he would deliver to him his commandments, he told Moses, you need to prepare the people. And in fact, the preparation was fairly extensive. He had to go down to the people and he had to explain to them that God himself is going to come down and speak to him. And he was going to pass on the message to them. But they themselves need to be ready. And in Exodus 19, it says Moses came down from the mountain to the people and consecrated them. And they washed their clothes. He said to the people, be prepared. And he gave them strict instructions about making sure they took time to fast, to pray, to ready themselves, to be in the presence of God. And it says, on the third day when the morning came, there was thunder and lightning, the thick cloud on the mountain, the loud trumpet sound, so that all the people in the camp shuddered. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke, because the Lord came down on it in fire. Its smoke went up like the smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain shook violently as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke and God answered him in the thunder. The Lord directed Moses, warn the people not to break through to see the Lord, otherwise many of them will die. Even the priests who come near the Lord must purify themselves. You know, the response of the people was, Moses, why don't you talk to God? And then you can come and relay it to us. We don't need to be there. And there was a sense of reverence and awe. You know, in the New Testament, the Hebrew writer says that when we come together, he says to them, you've not come to what could be touched, to a blazing fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to the blast of the trumpet and the sound of words. Those who heard it begged that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not bear what was commanded. And if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. And the appearance was so terrifying that Moses said, I am terrified and trembling. Instead, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels in festive gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn whose names have been written in heaven, to God who is the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous people made perfect. We may not be perfect. In fact, we know we're not. But through the blood of Christ, we can be seen that way because of Jesus' sacrifice. And as we approach the throne of God today, we approach with confidence because of Jesus' sacrifice. But we also do so with a sense of reverence and awe. And today, as we have this opportunity to publicly acknowledge and confess where we as a group have strayed, and an opportunity for us to pray and recommit ourselves to God, I want to encourage all of us to have humble hearts. You know, some of the confession statements that are going to be read out by individual members of the congregation, I had an opportunity to read through some of those today and yesterday. And even as I was reading through, I could feel myself becoming a little bit defensive. Because I would read some of these things and think, hold on a second, surely that's not us. Oh, that's not right. And you know, what we're doing is we're acknowledging our corporate sin. There are some of us who are setting some fantastic examples in some areas. But as a group, we have fallen short. And that's what we're talking about today. And I want to encourage us, let's not be proud or defensive. Let's not put up barriers and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. As a group, together we have fallen short. And as a group, I want to encourage all of us together to make a decision to recommit ourselves to a new standard. For those of you who have children in the service, I want to encourage you to be sensitive to the rest of the congregation. If your child is becoming fidgety or a little bit kind of needing attention, then please, by all means, go ahead and move to the back and take them outside so that we can not be distracted. Even as we take the time to listen to what is being shared, to listen to the readings, and as we pray, I want to encourage all of us to worship God of all of our hearts and of all of our minds, that we don't allow our minds to wander and to be distracted and to start to be thinking of everything, of other things. But instead, let's really use this time to really focus wholeheartedly and fully on God. You know, when Joshua gathered the people together in the solemn assembly, he reminded them of some things. And he reminded them of the things that God had done for them. And in Joshua 24 it reads, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live in. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him."
The Apostle Paul's charge to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 reads this: "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." As leaders of the East London congregation, we acknowledge that we stand before God as men who must give an account. We greet this responsibility with sobriety and are fully convinced that without the strength and the help of the Holy Spirit, we could never fulfill this obligation. Although we're deeply encouraged by the way the hand of God and his Spirit has been forging us together in the past year, we've also come to recognize some ways in which we have fallen short and failed to fulfill our calling as leaders of this community of Christians. We've been self-sufficient in many areas of leadership, relying more on our talents and gifts that God has given us than on a prayerful relationship with God. We commit ourselves to a deeper devotion to prayer and study of God's word, and our leadership meetings will be meetings that are characterized by prayer and study and the counsel from God's word of one another. We've lacked courage in calling people to faithful living, fearing men more than God. This has been born out of our own worldly desires to hold the church together, fueled by sentimentality and a desire to be liked or popular. The result of this has meant that a lack of clarity over our membership and our being swayed by public opinion. We've accepted blemished sacrifices from our members and have not called for a standard of financial giving in line with the scriptures. We recognize that these things have compromised our integrity before God, and we're deeply sorry to have shown such contempt for God's honor. And we pledge before you as witnesses today that we'll lead with courage, with faith, from this day forward. That we will not be swayed by sentimentality, but rather be moved by the will of God as expressed in Scripture. Since this present leadership group was formed, we've been slow in dealing with our own unity issues within the group and have lacked courage by not providing each other with the honest counsel that discipling demands from one another. We recognize that this is not pleasing to God and it's hurtful to the congregation, and we commit going forward to be a visible model of effective discipling and godly communication. And as such, we're committed to honest and open relationships with each other and dedicate the time necessary to each other to achieve this. We've shrunk back from speaking the truth in love and have compromised the maturing of the church. And we commit to leading by example and relational connection as shown by Jesus in the scriptures. We've allowed a significant number of people to drift away from the fellowship and perhaps also the faith, and have failed to act quickly or decisively in many of these circumstances. We recognize that this is not in the spirit of leaving the 99 and going after the one, and we're deeply saddened that we have not, that we've allowed people to drift without us showing enough compassion and love to sacrifice time and energy to help bring them back and restore them to the fellowship. We commit ourselves to creating an atmosphere of safety and of trust so that the church will feel encouraged to express their needs. We also commit ourselves to be examples in sacrificing of time for our brothers and sisters. Clearly, our mission as Christians is to seek and save the lost. We have failed to make that a priority in our own lives and to place it as a priority in the life of the church. And we're saddened that we have not fulfilled this part of our charge from our Lord and have been small-minded in our vision for the church. We're deeply sorry about this and commit to ensuring that our personal example as leaders is one of advancing the gospel into the lives of those who are not saved, and that we call the church to also engage in this mission. We praise God for his mercy and his grace, and we commit ourselves to lives of grateful service in the shepherding of this congregation.
Let's go and bow heads. Heavenly Father, I just want to come before you now on behalf of our leadership team. Father, just to accept responsibility for the sins which Barry has just even now acknowledged publicly. Father, as a group, we have not led the way we have been called to lead. Father, first and foremost, our relationship with you corporately, Father, has not been the living example that it needed to be for the congregation. Father, we have not placed you as the most significant priority in all aspects, Father, with our prayer lives, of our Bible study. Father, we have been slow to study the scriptures on certain things, Father. We've made judgments based on opinions, and Father, I pray that you'll forgive us for those sins. Father, we've been fearful in our leadership of the congregation. We've listened too much to people's opinions as opposed to your word and scripture. Father, we've been afraid to upset people. We've lacked courage in just standing up and speaking the truth in love. Yeah. Father, we've not called people to the standard that we read about in scripture. We have tolerated and accepted just low standards of commitment, Father. And God, we know how you feel about that. Father, we know from scripture that you hate it. You would rather that we didn't worship at all than that we worship with half-hearted, blemished sacrifices. Yeah. And Father, because we are in the position of leadership, Father, we should have taken responsibility and we didn't, God. And because of that, Father, we've allowed people's faith to be damaged. Yeah. We've allowed their walk with you to be compromised. And Father, even the church, as people come to the church, Father, they've not seen a reflection of Jesus' body. Yeah. Father, we've been religious without being righteous. Father, we've not called people to the standard of purity and righteousness that we've seen in the Bible. Father, instead, we've tolerated lukewarmness. We've tolerated just the half-heartedness, Father. We've not challenged people when they've been in sin to the degree that we needed to, God. Father, we've been afraid of people's responses. And instead of just speaking the truth in love and saying what needed to be said, Father, we've allowed a secondary level of commitment, God. Father, I pray that you'll help us to repent. And Father, we resolve together that we will be different. Amen. Father, we resolve that we want to lead, Father, the way that you've called us to lead, to be men of God and men of faith and men of passion and conviction. And God, just as Phinehas was zealous for your righteousness, Father, that we as a leadership team will be exactly that way. Yeah. Father, not that we will be harsh. Father, we want to be humble. We want to listen. We want to be approachable. But at the same time, we want to be inflexible when it comes to the standards of your word. Yeah. Father, we clearly want to lift you up as Lord and God. Father, that when we come to church, we recognize that we are part of Jesus' body. And Father, we stand before our Creator and God and King.
and that you are Lord of all, Father, and you've called us to be subject to your lordship. And Father, that we need to accept you and your reign over our lives in every area, that we won't hold back in any way. Father, help us to lead powerfully. Father, we pray that you'll forgive us for our lack of compassion and love for those who are without you in the world. God, we know that every day people are dying, Father. People are struggling, Father, because they don't have a relationship with you. And Father, without a relationship with you, they will ultimately perish spiritually. And Father, it's so easy to take the world's view and to look at people and judge them by what we see on the outside. But they appear to have their lives together. They appear to be successful. They appear to be coping well. And yet, Father, we know that you look on what's on the inside. And Father, I pray that we can look through your eyes and recognize, Father, that people are hurting inside. Father, their lives are empty and miserable. And Father, there is so much pain and hurt, Father. And we have not had the compassion that Jesus had, Father. He wept over Jerusalem because they didn't understand and recognize your coming. Father, help us to have the same heart that grieve for the lost. Help us individually, but help us as a group to repent of our lack of compassion for people who are without you. Help us to refocus not only our hearts, Father, but help us to refocus the whole church back on the mission that you've given us, Father, that of being your ambassadors in the lost world. Father, I pray that we can have a different spirit. And I pray, Father, we can lead in your power. And I pray that you will guide us. And I pray, Father, that the people, that your Christians, your people will follow eagerly. Father, we ask for your forgiveness and we thank you for your mercy. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection. As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and stand before him? O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Oh, how I love your law. I think about it all day long.
Obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you to be his children is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests. God's holy nation, his very own possession. This is so that you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you received none of God's mercy, now you have received his mercy. Dear brothers and sisters, you are foreigners and aliens here, so I warn you to keep away from evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbours. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will believe and give honour to God when he comes to judge the world.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So I say to you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Father, we have not prioritized you with the way that we spend our time. We have been too busy with our own lives to think eternally. We have allowed our Bible study to become boring and dutiful rather than wholehearted, passionate and life-changing. We have not been committed to reading the Bible every day. We value man's knowledge but don't apply the Bible in our lives or in our hearts. Our prayers have been faithless and half-hearted. We have left praying to last thing at night or for only a few minutes. We have expected answers to our prayers, but have not confessed or repented our sins. God, we fail to make special time for you. We have lost the desire to seek and understand your heart through spiritual disciplines like fasting and meditation on the scriptures, following the prompting of the Spirit as we live out our Christianity. God, we do not honour you with our tithe. Instead, we choose to spend it on material things. We have not loved you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, or with all our strength. We love the world and all that it offers. Father, we have not submitted to your authority over us. We have tried to grab back control of our own lives. We call ourselves Christians, but don't act like Jesus. We want salvation, but don't want to sacrifice or submit. We have attended church, but have been distracted from wholehearted worship, and have on occasion attended church for impure motives. We want a church that is all fun and friendship, rather than a church that brings honour to you with its worship. We are on time for work, but we are late for church. We have failed to acknowledge you and the truth of your word in front of man. We have become respectable members of society who have sought the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Today, we want all of that to change.
Father, we are here today because we want that to change. Father, that must not be said anymore. Lord, we have not been zealous for your name. And I think that the words that Ben said are well spoken. And I say that to our shame. Father, how far we have fallen. There was a time when we had many sins, but none of these. And yet, Father, how we have traded away our most precious, prized possessions for a handful of nonsense. Father, we know that in you lies our salvation, Father. The fruits of the Spirit are there, Father. The fruits of the Spirit are wonderful. And yet we've traded them away. Because they come with the zealous relationship with you, Father. You loved us so much that you did not spare your only Son. You have given us so much, and we have given you so little. And I pray, Father, on behalf of us all, as a collective, that we will be righteous in your sight. That it would be said, zeal for your house consumes me. Father, that there would be a complete and total metanoia. That our minds would be changed. That it would not be a struggle to get up in the morning and pray and read our Bibles. It would not be a struggle to give what is yours to you, Father. It would not be a struggle to get to church on time. It would not be a struggle to share our faith with others. It would not be a struggle for us to pass on this religion to our children, Father. No, it would come natural to us. It would be a part of our very lifeblood. And I pray, dear Father, that it shall be so. Amen.
I will now sing As a Deer, song 1015. 1015.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit. Brother, even though you are a king, I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
A new command I give you, love one another, As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love God, if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Lord, we have violated your command to love one another. We have not honored one another, nor called each other higher in our Bible study or our prayer lives. We have not called to encourage one another daily, but we have not made the meetings of your body a priority in our lives, nor driven our daily contact with our brothers and sisters. We practice favoritism and stagnate in cliquey relationships. We call each other brothers and sisters, but have failed to look after each other's needs, cared for each other's children, or invited each other into our homes or into our lives. The mature have not shared their wisdom with the young, nor taken an active interest in helping each other to grow spiritually. We have lacked vision for each other and have failed to admonish each other on sin and purity. We have dead and superficial conversations that fail to build each other up. We have not cared for the weak nor gone after the strays. We have gossiped, slandered, and violated trust and privacy. We have declared ourselves accountable to no one and accountable for no one, when in fact we will be held accountable for each other's blood. We have put up barriers which have hindered deep relationships. We lie, we deceive, we mislead, disappoint, ignore, avoid, and disregard one another as if we were of the world. We have not been noble, true, pure, trustworthy, generous, or honest with one another. We have not dared to love. We have been cowardly and selfish. We have been loveless, putting self before service. Jesus said that the world would know that we are his disciples by the love we have for one another. And that is the standard which we want to recommit ourselves to today.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty Father, it is sobering, Lord, to hear these confessions read out. It is heartbreaking to hear how we have sinned against each other individually and as a congregation. Father, to hear and to acknowledge that in our midst, we have a feeling of not being loved, not being respected nor valued. That needs, neither spiritually, emotionally or physically, have always been met. That we have not sought to deepen our friendships and to allow everyone to feel included, but that we have been comfortable in our own groups and in our cliques. Father, we are distressed to hear that we have so often turned a blind eye to sinful practices, allowing ourselves to become more and more sucked in to worldly practices and attitudes of materialism and greed and self-indulgence and other worldly attitudes, and failing to admonish each other when we see each other falling. Father, we hear these confessions, God, and we are distressed because in our hearts we know that this was never our deliberate intention. We are so mindful, God, that in the world, in our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, that we are so often lighter and gossiped about and slandered. And God, we harden ourselves because we don't want to be taken advantage of. And to think, Lord, that we have brought these attitudes into our spiritual family. And yet, Father, we know, God, that when we first became baptized and we first entered into your kingdom and into our spiritual family, we knew that this was one place, God, where we, Father, expected to find solace and peace, to feel loved and valued for who we are and were and not because of what we had achieved. Father, we were heartened and strengthened by your words, by the scriptures, God, that told us to love each other, to call each other higher, to urge each other on, to love and good deeds, to spur one another on, to be humble to each other, to serve each other, to admonish each other, to pray for each other and confess sins to each other, to honor and encourage one another, Father. And we are cut to the heart this morning, God, to know that over the years, we have failed in providing the sanctuary that we have expected and needed. Father, we are so sorry that we have caused each other such pain. Father, we are sorry that we have allowed the busyness of our lives, our self-focus and our self-interest, our laziness, and other sins to prevent us from meeting the numerous needs that exist in our congregation. And yet, Father, we come to you this morning with a humble and repentant heart. We approach you with earnestness and eagerness and a longing to make the changes as individuals and as a corporate body, as a church, as a spiritual family, to ensure that we love one another as you and your Son desire that we do. We pray for the heart of Jesus, who loved us so deeply and comprehensively. Father, we pray for the eyes of Jesus who saw beyond what we mere sinful human beings will see, who saw beyond the external appearances, who saw beyond our behaviors, our status in society, who saw our individual longing, God, and desire to feel loved, to feel valued, to feel admired, to feel taken care of. Father, we pray for a heart of forgiveness, Lord. And we know that we have been hurt, and yet we pray, Lord, that we can find your love and your strength to put behind the hurts, the disappointments, the discouragement that we have experienced in the past. Father, we pray that our repentance today is acceptable in your sight. That this will herald in a new change, Father. Herald in an incredible feeling of freedom and refreshing as it transforms our lives individually and as a family of God. And that again, we will love each other as Jesus loved us and gave his life, God, and died for us. And the Lord will know, and the world will know, Father, that we are disciples by our love. Father, we offer these prayers up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn your psalm books to 1082. I vow to you, my Savior. That's 1082.
Shining bounds increase.